Bibles this morning and be turning to the book of 1 John. And while you're turning there, I wonder if maybe someone has a word of testimony on your heart. You want to testify for the Lord this morning. He's got something on your heart and you just want to praise Him. If you found your place at 1 John chapter 2, we'll stand one last time, if you're physically able to and would like to, and we will reverence the reading of the Word of God. And say it's good to see Brother Raymond this morning. Praise God. And thank God he's able to be here, be back with us. That flu's been after him, man. It's been after him. Been fighting the battle. And he's getting the victory, praise God. I'm glad he's here. It's good to see him. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, and we'll begin reading in verse number 18. 1 John 2, verse number 18. Give you the message the Lord's put on our heart this morning. He says, "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know the truth, or because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whoso denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that they had that He hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and I pray that you would bless the reading of it this morning. May we hear from heaven, and Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, as we try to preach your word. Lord, give us unction and liberty and vocabulary. Help us, Lord, to say exactly what you'd have us to say, nothing more, nothing less. And I pray that your word would be received with meekness and gladness this morning. I pray that it would change our hearts and our lives and draw us close to thee. Lord, I pray for that lost soul among us this morning that you would do a work in that heart, that today would be the day of salvation. They would repent and believe the gospel and be born again. But Lord, I pray that your will would be done, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to preach this morning for a few minutes on this thought, and this really just what we see in this text here is comprehension for every Christian. Comprehension for every Christian. Now, throughout this passage, as we've gone through the latter half, really, or mostly the latter half of 1 John chapter 2, we've seen various different things, really kind of starting back even in verse number 15 down through the verses that we've seen this morning. And he's dealt with the command that is there for every Christian. He says in verse 15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And so that is the command for every Christian. Now, you say every Christian. Now, I say that because if you back up, he deals with the little children and the young men and the fathers. That is, everyone at every level of their spiritual life, everyone at every level of spiritual maturity needs that command. Isn't that right? We all need the command, need to be reminded and constantly refreshed that we keep our hearts and mind off the things of this world and onto the things of God. And that is the command for every Christian, not just the baby Christian. Christian, the new Christian, the carnal Christian, whatever. That's the command for all of us. We all need that. And so there is a command for every Christian, but then he gives a caution to every Christian. He talks about in verse number 18 that it is the last time. And talks about the false prophets and the false doctrine and the things that will be coming in the last time and in the last days. And that is a caution for every Christian. Amen. Everyone at every level of spirituality needs that caution, because one of the hallmarks of these last days that we are living in is deception. Amen. And we are certainly not hurting for religion in this world, and certainly not in America, and especially not in the Bible Belt. Amen. There's a church on every corner. There's all kinds of different Bibles. There's all kinds of different faiths. There's preachers everywhere. But listen, there's only one gospel and there's only one way. And he didn't say that men would depart from faith in the last days. Paul said they would depart from the faith. And there's more faith now, probably, than there's ever been. Amen? But man hasn't departed from faith. He is certainly, though, departed from the faith. And you can be easily deceived if you're not careful, and let the devil and false doctrine creep in. And certainly the devil would love to have it creep into our church and into your family and into your children's lives and all these things. It can happen. It's happened to better people than a lot of us. Amen? And so that is the caution to every Christian. Amen? But now as we get down in these latter verses, these verses that we've read this morning, as you kind of pick your way through here, we find also the comprehension for every Christian. God's people, saved people who have been indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, have a particular comprehension that the world and the lost do not have. The spiritual knowledge that we have really is the comprehension that is in focus here. And if you were to narrow it down to one word, I would narrow it down to this word, wisdom. Now, there is a worldly wisdom and there is a wisdom of the world, but there's also a spiritual wisdom and a godly wisdom. And the only way to have true, godly, spiritual wisdom, to have the comprehension to have the ability to comprehend spiritual things and apply them to your life, the only way to have that is to be saved by the grace of God and walk with God. And so he deals with that comprehension that if you're saved this morning, you have. Amen? I have it. And all that are saved have it. Those that are lost do not have it, though. And so we're looking at the comprehension for every Christian, and he's talking about spiritual wisdom. Now, it involves the third of these exhortations. Again, there's the command, and there's the caution, and last of all, we have the comprehension in this chapter. And I want to point out several different things and look at several different verses down through here dealing with this idea of the comprehension for every Christian, the wisdom that God's people have, and how it applies to you. How it applies to me. Amen? Listen, we always need to know how the Bible applies to us. Isn't that right? None of this is dead fact. None of this is dead doctrine. There's no such thing as dead doctrine. Doctrine is what you believe. Amen? And you apply it, and it shapes your life and shapes your belief and your mentality. And so let's look at this comprehension for every Christian, this wisdom that God gives us. And in verse number 20 and verse number 27, we find that there is help for it. In verse number 20, he says, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." He uses that word unction there. Now look down in verse number 27. He says, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." Uses two words there. Uses the word unction in verse number 20. But then he uses the word anointing twice in verse number 27. And that word unction and the word anointing are very, very similar words. And they mean just about the same thing. And if you study the word out, it actually literally means an ointment. Something that is smeared on. Something that is applied. And that's what he's talking about whenever he talks about that unction, that anointing. It is something that has been applied to the spirit of the saved person. To the life of the saved person. And what he's talking about, he's speaking of the endowment of the Holy Spirit in helping us that are saved to learn spiritual truths. By the way, if you back up, this is why they went out from us, because they were not of us. And he says, if they were of us, they no doubt would have continued with us, but they went out that it might be manifest they were not all of us. See, there is an anointing and there is an unction that is lacking in the person that would leave the work of God. I'm not saying every one of them is lost. God knows, not you and me. Amen? But listen, the reality is that if someone is saved by the grace of God, there is a particular unction and a particular anointing that is given in their life that keeps them on the straight path. And so somebody may get a little sideways every now and then, but that unction is going to be drawing them back to the truth every time. These folks that go out and they never come back, listen, it is a manifestation that they were lacking something in their life the whole time. I don't care if they've been in church 50 years. If they go out and they don't come back and they go back to the world, listen, they may have endured for a time, but they went out that it might be manifest. Again, people can get a little confused and people can get a little sideways. People can get a little miffed at one another or whatever. They can get some discouragement. I understand all those things. But I'm talking about in spiritual matters and in right doctrine, the Holy Spirit has given a particular anointing to save people that nothing else can give. Listen, no amount of education can give it. Listen, no amount of degrees and university and learning and reading, no amount of all those things can give the unction that the Holy Spirit gives. That's why old mountain preachers had a greater touch of God on their simple preaching than what these Bible colleges are turning out today. Because they're trying to replace with education what can only be given with an unction. Amen? They're trying to replace with a degree what can only be given with an anointing. Amen? And so someone who is not saved simply will not last because there is a particular unction, a particular help that God's people have that a lost person doesn't have. There is help for it. It is that unction, that anointing, that ointment that God smears into the heart of every person and marks them and changes them eternally. Eternally. And so again, he's speaking of that endowment of the Holy Spirit in helping us to learn and comprehend spiritual truths. Don't you remember when you got saved how differently the things of God spoke to you than they did before? How differently preaching was than it was before. You know, the two first messages I ever remember hearing preached in my life. The first one was the night I got saved. And I don't even remember the whole message. I just remember one thing that was said in the message. And it stuck with me all this time. And I guess it will if I live to be a million. Amen. I remember one thing that said. I remember Esau. How Esau found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Amen. And the Holy Ghost of God took that and applied that to my soul. And he didn't speak to me audibly, but I heard him just the same. He said, if you don't get saved tonight, tonight is your night. I'm not dealing with you anymore after tonight. And that's what the Holy Spirit spoke to me about. And so I don't remember what he was preaching, but I do remember him saying that. Pulling that verse out. Amen. The second time I ever remember hearing preaching was, I guess it was shortly thereafter that coming to the Bible conference hearing Brother Billy Mitchell preach. And I don't remember what he preached that night, but I just remember it was a blessing. I really enjoyed it. For the first time in my life, I really remembered enjoying preaching. And isn't that what happens? Don't you remember when you got saved, how differently all that stuff hit you, you know, once you got saved? I mean, it just hits different. Isn't that what they're saying now? It just hits different, you know, whenever you're saved. Before you're saved, the things of God don't mean anything to you. It's dead, cold facts, and you can't wait to get away from it and get back to something that really thrills you, you know? But whenever you get saved, there's an unction there, and there's a help in understanding spiritual things that really thrills you. And see, the reason it doesn't thrill the lost person is because they do not understand it. It does not mean anything to them. Therefore, it doesn't thrill their soul. That's why you can't, you know, they're not going to stay faithful in church most of the time. Some people who have been raised in it, you know, and feel the obligation to it, they may just go, but it does not thrill them. That's why churches have gotten carnal and compromised and done so many things to get people coming, because they gotta have something that appeals to the flesh, that appeals to the Adamic man, to keep people interested. And they're constantly upping the ante of what will appeal to the flesh. Amen. But listen, if you're saved by the grace of God, the Word of God is enough for you. Isn't that right? I just believe the old time hymns are enough for you. I just believe old time worship is enough for you. I just believe the sweet consolation of giving and worshiping the Lord, like we talked about earlier, in our giving. I believe that does something in our soul, and it's enough for us. Amen. I don't know about you, but I didn't like to give before I saved, but it does something for me in my soul because I'm worshiping God in it. And the old time hymns do something for me now, and preaching does something for me now, and praying does something for me now. It does something for me because of that anointing that comes with being saved. Aren't you glad of that? Praise God. And aren't you glad that if you're lost, you may be here this morning, you're lost, you can have that. You know, nobody has to float through life wondering what they're missing that everybody's got that they don't have. Anyone that would repent and believe the gospel can get in on it, praise God. Can get in on the greatest life you could ever live. Amen? Can get that help that only God's people have. Now, there's two things involved in this help. First of all, there's schooling in this help. In verse number 20, he said, "Ye know all things." You know all things. You know, all believers are helped by the Holy Spirit to know spiritual truth. Brother James Jones said this. He said, "This does not suggest that we possess unrestricted or unlimited knowledge." He said, "God has reserved many things for Himself." When He says, you know, all things, it doesn't mean it's, you know, unlimited knowledge and all those things. God has restricted and reserved. And what God tends to do is reveal, you know, from faith to faith. And just like He talks about line upon line, He tends to reveal Himself to us in that way, line upon line. Little at a time, He reveals to more light regarding Himself based on the light that you respond to that you have now. That tends to be the way God works. And I could take a Bible and show you that, but I think we all believe that. That's the way God tends to kind of progressively reveal Himself to us. Amen? And so all things, whenever He talks about all things, I believe specifically what He's talking about here is all things necessary about salvation, about the Savior, about sin, about Satan, about service, all the necessary things regarding those things God reveals to you, and those are things that the world does not know. Even the religious world. I mean, you just think that, I mean, the lost religious world, the lost world, but then the lost religious world too. I mean, they can't sort all that stuff. They don't know anything about salvation. They can't sort it out. That's why there's a different gospel being preached everywhere. That's why they're preaching salvation without repentance. And that's why, listen, the only preacher that would preach, salvation without repentance is a preacher that's never repented. And so there's no help. There's no understanding there. He's just preaching all he knows. And what he knows is not spiritual. It's carnal. Amen. And, you know, Satan and all those things. Listen, those things can't be learned by the mind that is dead and darkened in trespasses and sins. That's taught by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want you to see a verse over here. We're going to have to hurry if we're going to get through all this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and look in verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, the Apostle Paul said to this church, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." So that is the physical eye, the physical ear, the physical heart, that of the flesh. Listen, the flesh of man has not heard or seen or had entered into his heart the things of God that are understood by His children. Look at what he says in verse 10. "But God hath revealed them unto us by" how? "His Spirit."
His Spirit. He says, for the Spirit, capital S Spirit, the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. There is nothing within you, nothing within me that can search out the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit has got to do it for us. He's got to do it for us. Listen, I don't care how many times somebody reads through their Bible in their life, and it's a good thing to read your Bible, but if you're going through the Bible, but the Bible's not going through you, that does not matter. It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't matter. All the spiritual things in the world, they don't matter as far as their religious motions and doing the right mechanics. It doesn't matter if the Holy Spirit of God is not there giving you understanding. Amen. That's just what he said. There's schooling there. But then, back in our text, not only is there schooling for this help, but there's also superiority of this help. In verse 27, back in 1 John 2, he said, "Ye need not that any man teach you." That's an interesting word, isn't it? I mean, it almost tends to suggest that, you know, you don't need anybody. You don't need the preacher. You don't need, you know, a teacher. You don't need those things. But that's not what he's saying. See, he's not discounting or disregarding the need for teaching. We all need teaching, and we all need teachers, and we all need authority in our life. Amen? And Paul, it's still in there. You know, Paul talked about in Galatians the gifts to the church of the pastors and the evangelists and the teachers and how God has blessed you and me both with men like that in our lives, people like that in our lives. And so he's not discounting or disregarding the need for teaching, by the way, especially that of the Scriptures. Amen? But he's revealing that believers are not at the mercy of false teachers and Gnostics and Antichrists that he's talking about right here. Amen. You are not at the mercy of every false doctrine out there. Amen. As a matter of fact, you and I are less at the mercy of false teaching than probably any group of people ever has been in the history of the world. You say, "Oh, but Jacob, what are you talking about? These are the last days, and it's deception, all those things." Well, let me just ask you, how many Bibles do you own? How many King James Bibles do you own? Listen, King James, I know there's a lot of confusion out there regarding the Bible, but the King James Bible is still easier to get a hold of right now than it ever has been in 6,000 years of human history. Amen? And hasn't God still blessed us with a good church and Bible preaching? Hasn't God still given us all that we need to overcome and have victory in our life? Listen, if a man wants truth, he can get it. You know, in John's day, when he was writing this letter, he puts a lot of emphasis on hearing. We're going to deal with that in just a little bit. Talks about hearing. And the emphasis, the reason he talks about hearing is because that was the primary way of receiving truth in his day, was in hearing, because Bibles weren't readily available. In fact, it wasn't even complete at that time. It wasn't even complete. Isn't it a blessing to have a Bible? Amen. I mean, just again, even as he's writing this letter, as he's penning it, it is God speaking. It's coming as he's writing it from God. But now you and I have got the whole thing. And for the most part, you know, there were no printing presses. There were scribes. Everything was recorded by hand and copied by hand. And so the emphasis was on hearing the Word, because generally speaking, the people would have to gather at the temple or gather at the tabernacle or gather at a place to hear the Word of God read.
You're getting ahead of me, brother. I was just about to say that. That's why I don't feel bad about asking people to stand and read the Word of God. Because they stood for 6 hours in some places in the Old Testament and heard the Word of God read. Now you talk about boring preaching. Amen. All he did was stand there and read the Bible. Read the Scriptures. And the people stood for 6, in some places 8 hours, to hear the Word of God read. That was the thirst of their soul, the thirst of their heart, to hear the Word of God. Amen. And I tell you, it's a sad day in America when that hasn't become enough for us anymore. That we've got to have dynamic preachers and dynamic speakers. Amen. I tell you what ought to be enough. Truth ought to be enough for us. Amen. And if we'd get right with God, it would be enough. If you'd get right with God, truth would be enough. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. See, he said, ye need not any man teach you. That doesn't mean that you don't need a teacher and you don't need a preacher. Thank God for the men of God and the preachers and the teachers. But listen, we are not at the mercy of all the falsehood out there. We've got something that the world does not have. We've got something that the false teacher doesn't have. Amen? We've got the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside if you are saved by the grace of God. Amen? Now, if you remember, we've kind of approached 1 John with the theme, and it's really kind of the theme in my eyes, the whole epistle of 1 John, and it is that of knowing. Knowing, being settled, that of reality. This is the way things are. It doesn't matter what the world says, this is the way things are. Amen? And the Holy Spirit of God, this particular comprehension, this is how we know. See, the bare bones of 1 John is not about feeling something mystical and feeling something, you know, weird and feeling, you know, so that's what the world is looking for. They're looking. That's why Brother Ernest talked about it in Sunday school this morning. You know, that's why, you know, the false teachers of this world, you know, the Benny Hinns, that's why people like that, they can pack stadiums. Because they put on this show and put on this performance and people think that they're really doing something. And boy, they really felt that. Yes, I did feel that. You know, I can't remember who it was. Someone was talking about, was it maybe Brother Empson the other day talking about dealing with a lady on her porch, was out knocking doors and was witnessing this lady. And of course, she was, you know, real spiritual, religious and charismatic. And she said, "Did you feel that?" And he was like, "No, I didn't feel that, but I got out of there pretty quick, you know." Because that's what people are looking for, though, you know. Oh, you feel that? Oh, do you feel it? Do you feel the Spirit? Amen. Thank God there are feelings sometimes, but beyond feeling something, God wants you and I to know something, to have a rock-solid foundation to build on. Because, listen, feelings come and feelings go, but the foundation of your faith is what we know. Amen. What we know. Amen. All the promises of God are not felt, they are known. We quoted Malachi 3 verse 10 about giving, the tithes and the offering and seeing what God... Listen, that verse isn't always felt. Listen, I've tithed all my life and there's been bills that hadn't been paid sometimes. There's been things I didn't know how they'd work out financially. And I tell you, I wasn't feeling that promise at the time. Amen? But I knew it. I knew it. I knew it was still there. I knew it was still true. I knew when the stars were falling, that word would still stand. Amen. So what did I do? I kept on giving and I kept on being faithful and I kept on doing what God told me to do. And God has always come through. Hallelujah. Apply thy works to God. Apply thy works to the law and thy thoughts shall be established. Amen. If you'll do what's right, the feelings will come at some time. Amen. Hallelujah. It's all about knowing something. Amen. Amen. I tell you, you won't be a fair weather Christian when you know something rather than feeling something. Amen. And so he reveals the superiority of knowing these things. Listen, the teacher, even if God appointed, must not be the ultimate source of truth for you. Amen. And by the way, there are God-appointed teachers. Amen. The pastor of the church is God-appointed. Amen. Every preacher, if he's called of God, he is God-appointed. God put him there. God did that. And it's right to have God-appointed teachers. But even if it's a God-appointed teacher or a preacher, listen, don't take my word for it. Don't let me be the final say in your life. Don't let my word be the final word in your life. Let it be that Bible, amen? Be like the faithful Bereans, that they search the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. And I tell you what it'll do. As long as I'm preaching this Bible, what you find there will line up with what I'm saying. And what it'll do is it'll be more than just what Brother Jacob says, but it'll be what God says. And it'll make it real to you. And then you'll know that God speaks to you too. He doesn't just speak to the preacher, but God will reveal it to you. And I tell you, He'll build a solid foundation for you to live your life on. So when the preacher's gone and the raves are rolling and the walls are falling in, you'll still have a word from God that you can stand on. Hallelujah. Amen. Now you say, well, what about the one that's exposed to false teaching? Well, according to this verse, there's no, that's not an excuse for saints. For those that are saved, that is not an excuse. You say, well, they've been deceived and all those things. We're going to deal with that, some of that in just a little bit. First of all, there's a help for this wisdom. But then, number two, there's the honesty of this wisdom. In verse 21, he says, I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it. And that no lie is of the truth. Now, there's some interesting words used there. He says, ye know. Again, there's that knowing. And then he uses the word truth. You know the truth. He says, no lie is of the truth. Look in verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Anything the Holy Spirit teaches somebody is going to be truth. The Holy Spirit of God cannot teach a lie. All right? Y'all with me? Let me back up and hit that one more time as we're going through. The Holy Spirit of God cannot teach a lie. Isn't that what the Bible says about God, in God, who cannot lie? It is an impossibility. Amen? You say, well, God can do everything. There's one thing He can't do. He can't lie. He can't do it. So anything God teaches a man, woman, boy, or girl, anything God, the Holy Spirit, tells them to do, anything God instructs them in, it will always be true and truth. You'll never convince me that God told somebody or led somebody to do something or believe something or say something or act in some way or make some decision that does not line up with this Bible. Because a lot of people, you know, indict the Lord, indict the Spirit of God with that. Well, God told me to. Or this is the way I felt impressed to do. Or this is the way I felt to do. You know, this is the way God directed me. And they'll indict the Lord. And by the way, you need to be very careful with indicting the Lord with things. Indicting God with what He told you to do or not do. You better make sure it lines up with that Bible if God told you to do it. Amen. That's why the Bible talks about trying the spirits. There are deceiving spirits out there, and every spirit that comes upon you or tells you to do something, or every spirit that leads you, every impression or feeling that you get is not always the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will always tell you to do truth. Right? That's the lust of the flesh says, what I want. But the truth of the Spirit is what God wants. And you can't ever be right or even fulfilled in life if you're not doing what God wants. Amen? That's why the saved person living in sin, not doing what God wants them to do, is the most miserable person on this planet. Because the lost person out there is just doing only what their flesh tells them to do. But the saved person is given over to their flesh, doing what their flesh tells them to do, but the whole time the Holy Spirit is there convicting them. And He's fixing it where they can't be happy and enjoy their sin like they used to. That Holy Spirit is convicting and dealing with them, and they're bothered by it, and it keeps them up at night, and it makes them miserable. And then, not only that, but God will start bringing things into their life. I mean, it's one trouble after another. It's one problem after another because they're not doing God's will. They're out of God's will. I mean, just one thing after another, because God's fixed it for the Holy Spirit's always going to be honest. But the fact that they were able, He was able to write unto them because they were able to receive this letter, it also made them very valuable people to Him. They were valuable enough that God put it in the heart of John and wrote through the hand of John this letter to anyone that would read it to keep them from going off into false doctrine and going in the wrong direction. To keep them from false teachers. The point is this, that just because you know some truth doesn't mean you can't be taught more truth. Right? You know, the only reason that any of us are at the level of truth we have now is because we haven't obeyed the truth we have now. The only reason that any of us are at the level spiritually that we are now is because we've only obeyed to the level of spiritually that we are now. We've only surrendered to the level of spirituality that we are now. Now, there's a great honor in knowing truth. Again, I mean, you think back whenever you were lost. None of this ever meant any to you. And you may be here this morning. None of this means anything to you. Isn't that right? And a lot of the reason why is because people hadn't been saved. But whenever we got saved, things changed. The Holy Spirit came on the inside. And there's a great honor to be able to knowing the deepest things that this world and God has to offer. You know, we know things and God's helped reveal things to us and we've experienced things from God in salvation, those of us that are saved, that this world so desperately would love to know. And that's what God's doing. I don't know what God may have dealt with you about this morning. You know, I think about a message like this, and I guess in a lot of ways it's just kind of teaching. It's kind of doctrinal. But it applies so much. Specific things in your life. Specific things if you're saved. But if you're lost, He'll deal with you about being lost. That's the way the Holy Spirit works. He's either telling you right now you need to deal with this, or He's telling you right now you need to be saved. Because He's always honest. I wonder, would you repent and believe the gospel this morning? Would you trust Jesus alone for salvation? You know, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus. And the only way we know any of those things is the Holy Spirit that's working in our hearts this morning. The Word and the Spirit working together to tell us all the truth about ourselves. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word and for helping us with it. I pray that You'll take it and use it this morning. And I pray that You'd help us, Lord, to do and be what You'd have us to be. Help us to respond to Your Word as it's come to us. I pray that You would deal with our hearts. And God, help us. Lord, to do what it is You're asking us all to do. Lord, thank You for those of us that are saved and for those of us that You've allowed to know spiritual things. And Lord, for the great honor it is to have the comprehension of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to continue to mature and grow and help us all, Lord, to deal with those specific things that You deal with our heart about. I pray that You'd help us to be serious about the things of God. And I pray for that soul that may be lost among us, Lord, that You would do a work in that heart. May today be the day of salvation. We'll thank You for what You do in Jesus' name. Amen.